Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if this isn't your first time listening to this show, you know that I have a particular amount of energy for income and wealth inequality and the rigged tax system. Rigged? Yes, indeed, rigged. Rigged to place an ever-increasing burden for funding the most basic functions of government on working families and the poorest among us. Donald Trump has said some pretty extraordinary things over the past few days about taxes, including his desire to magically maybe even get rid of income taxes in favor of going to a complete tariff tax revenue system. This would, of course, let billionaires abscond without paying a single dime or very few dimes, as it were, and place an incredibly regressive amount of tax burden on the poorest among us because tariffs are regressive, meaning they hurt working people more than they do the ultra wealthy. Here to help us understand all that is happening in this space is Sarah Anderson. She's the Global Economy Project Director for the Institute of Policy Studies. If you want to know more about this topic, you want to go to inequality.org. Sarah, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are in the midst of an epic battle over our country's values and how those are expressed in our tax code, are we not?
Absolutely. Things are really heating up on Capitol Hill over taxes. And that's because they pretty much have to pass a tax package. And that's because at the tax bill that passed in 2017, with all Republican support, not one Democrat voted for it. And many of the provisions in that tax law are expiring at the end of this year. And so Republicans don't want them to just expire. They want to renew a lot of those provisions and pass some more tax breaks for the rich in there as well. And it's part of this bigger budget process where they're looking at really deep cuts to a lot of critical social programs that millions of Americans rely on in order to fund these tax giveaways to billionaires and other ultra wealthy Americans.
I hear Republicans, including and probably most notably Speaker Mike Johnson, deny that they are considering draconian cuts to fill-in program that millions and millions and millions of Americans rely on. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, SNAP benefits, school lunches, I mean, you name it, it's on the cutting block. They keep denying that that's happening. They also love to play what I'm going to call like don't pay any attention to the details games. They'll talk about tax cuts and as a general concept, but they never tell you to which income quartile the vast majority of the tax cuts, who benefits the most, who's getting the most bang for this reduction in tax cuts, the most bang for this buck. And the reality is they've avoided those analyses. They did it when they passed the first Donald Trump tax giveaway to billionaires and 100 millionaires and the wealthy corporations. They're doing it again here. Who's right? Should we be believing what Republicans are saying about cuts to these programs? That's not going to happen. We'll just all do better with less taxes and everything will sort out. Who should we believe?
Yeah, well, let me pick apart some of what you said there. So they're denying that they're going to make deep cuts to programs like Medicaid and food stamps and Social Security and all. But if you look at the math, the amount of funding that they have told the committees to cut, it would be mathematically almost impossible to not make deep cuts, particularly in Medicaid and food stamps, as just one example. And so when they say we're not going to make cuts, they might claim, oh, we're just cutting out the waste, fraud, and abuse. But there's no way to cut like $800 billion out of Medicaid and have it only be from waste, fraud, and abuse. There's just not that much waste, fraud, and abuse to cut. These are actually very effective anti-poverty programs. And so that's one tricky thing that they might try to play on us denying that they made deep cuts to people who actually deserve these supports. you know, on what you said about Donald Trump, you know, should we switch to just getting all of our revenue from tariffs and eliminating income taxes? I mean, that's one thing he's been floating. And it is insane because the tariffs will trickle down to consumers. And like you said, that is regressive. They hit people who spend a large share of every paycheck on buying stuff that they really need to get by. People at the top end can squirrel away, you know, tons of their wealth because they don't need to spend it on consumer consumption. They can invest it in the markets. They can do other things with their money. It's the people who are really having to go out and fork over, you know, most of their paycheck for these consumer goods that could go up a lot in price because of the tariffs, who would really suffer under a system like that.
Yeah, Sarah, exactly. So Sarah, one quick
follow-up question. Sarah, and then I'm going to toss it to you, Tom, to ask Sarah a couple questions. Do we tax a dollar earned from wealth in the same way that we tax the exact same dollar earned from work?
We give preferential tax treatment to income from wealth over income from work. And so I'll give you a concrete example. We just put out a report on Amazon looking in very, you know, great detail at how that company and the executives at that company have benefited from our current rig tax system. So Jeff Bezos, he makes hardly anything in salary, normal paycheck like the rest of us get. Almost all his money is from his investments and his wealth. And since 2018, he has sold about $37 billion worth of Amazon stock. And do you want to know how much more he would have owed on the capital gains from those stock sales if we did tax wealth the same as we tax income from work? He would have owed $6.2 billion more. And so that is, you know, $6.2 billion that Jeff Bezos gets to put in his pocket because we have this double standard of favoring income from wealth and taxing it much less than we tax ordinary income. And that's why millions of teachers and firefighters actually pay a lower tax rate than people like Jeff Bezos and other extraordinary wealthy Americans.
And I think you mean to say the inverse, that regular working class, middle class Americans pay higher income tax rates. Tom, my friend, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And I think the Republicans have done a really good job of this, of painting these tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, the Trump one tax cuts, and now these, the continuation, as this trickle-down economics that are going to help everybody, yet proven over and over again, don't help everybody. In fact, exacerbate income inequality. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about potentially universal basic income and things like that when we're looking at trying to level the playing field. How do we get the narrative back to help people understand that these tax cuts do not in any way, shape, or form help them? In fact, it hurts their lives. Because it seems like that to me is the hardest message to help people understand, because they continually vote for tax cuts. If a politician says tax cuts, they're voting for it, even though it's not their tax cut.
Yeah. Well, back in 2017, I was in the middle of that debate. And I remember one big corporation after another said, you pass this big tax cut on the corporate tax rate, and we're going to turn that right into higher wages for our workers and hand out all these bonuses and everything. And we now have all of these years, 8 years now of data to look at, well, what really did happen to ordinary working people? And studies show that anybody making less than like $140,000 a year saw no benefits whatsoever from slashing the corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. That was just a complete myth that was going to translate into better pay and more quality jobs in America. I think people, what's really going to overshadow this debate is the tariff issue and rising consumer prices. I think people are going to get it that Even if they get like a very small tax cut out of this legislation, it's not going to make up for the rise in prices. And when they see that the CEOs of a lot of these companies that are going to be charging them more are getting much bigger tax cuts than they are, and also the growing influence of these executives and billionaires over our democracy, over our government, I think that people are going to see it for what it is. And that's one reason why, you know, we expect them to try to rush this through, because the more people really look at the details of what's going to be in these, but the very, you know, fine details of what's going to be in this budget proposal and the tax package, it's not going to age well. The longer that members of Congress have to hear from their constituents about this, I think more and more people are going to be speaking out, and it's going to be harder to get it through.
I wanted to do some compare and contrast, Sarah, and to all of our listeners. If you are able to grab a pen and paper, you're going to want to remember these statistics I'm about to give to you, because they are so stark and shocking. In 1973, the top 1% of income earners, and remember, most of the billionaire class, they ain't earning income, right? So, but with that in mind, the top 1% of income earners took home 9% of all income. That's in 1973. In 2023, the top 1% took home 26.5% of all income. Okay, so that's category one. But more fundamentally than that, the thing that I like to remind everyone, and this gets right to your point, Sarah, about the Tax Cuts and, quote, Jobs Act from Trump 1, which was just a giveaway. It was welfare for corporations, and it was welfare for rich people, okay, which makes no damn sense. The idea has always been that if workers are more productive and everybody's getting richer, the worker too will get richer, right? And so, hey, if that's working mostly, it may be a little less taxes for the so-called job creators makes sense. This is the fundamental argument. Mm-hmm. However, every bit of data that we have shows us that exactly the opposite is happening. Specifically, from 1948 to 1973, worker productivity increased 97%. And over that same period of time, what you expect under our most basic social contract is worker hourly wages to rise in equal proportion. And indeed you did. This is from 1948 to 1973. Worker productivity up 97%, hourly wages up 91%. Aha! That's the social contract. But since 1973, and this is the study I was looking at that I believe is very objectively reasonable, this only goes through 2014, but 1973 to 2014, worker productivity up 91%, hourly wages up 9.2%. That is a breach of the social contract, not to the middle class's benefit, but to the rich billionaire overlord benefits. We're going to continue this conversation with Sarah Anderson, Global Economy Project Director at inequality.org, co-editor of the Institute for Policy Studies. Because it's all about the money, damn it. And most of it trickles up while the tax burden is trickling down. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.